Vegas Nation Podcast is powered by our friends Sam and Ash Injury Law. Give them a call at 702-820-1234 or visit samandash.com because you deserve what's right.
Ash, what about those insurance ads with catchy jingles?
And the lawyer commercials.
The jingles might get stuck in your head, but they're designed to do one thing, distract you.
Distract you from hiring the right professional team to represent you.
Choose reputation over shtick.
Sam and I are real personal injury attorneys who focus on you and your recovery.
Call us anytime, 702-820-1234.
Or visit samandash.com.
Because you deserve what's right.
This is Greg Olson, inviting you to check out my new Blue Wire podcast, TE1, where I interview tight ends throughout the history of the NFL who have helped revolutionize the position. TE1 is presented by the Chevy Silverado. The Silverado is all about grit. It's strong and dependable, exactly like playing tight end. Just like the incredible players we sit down with on the podcast, the Chevy Silverado is in a league of its own. Strong, advanced, and dependable. Download TE1 today, wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to Vegas Nation. It's Friday, which means it's time for Unsportsmanlike Conduct with your hosts, Adam Hill and Ed Green. Here we go.
Welcome into Unsportsmanlike Conduct of the Vegas Nation podcast, sponsored by Sam and Ash Injury Law and brought to you by Visa, Indeed, and Favor Shot. We're your hosts, Ed Graney and Adam Hill. We're here each week to give you some of our thoughts on the Las Vegas Raiders before entering into the world of news and other topics we find really interesting. Here we go. Well, 2-0. 2-0. Beat the Saints, Allegiant Stadium, Monday Night Football. You were there. Reaction.
So were you.
I love starting with reaction.
Throwing it out to me.
I wanted to be serious because this has nothing to do with the serious podcast.
I was sitting next to you.
Oh, that's right. Well, I just wanted your thoughts on that. I don't like to be serious about much of anything, so I try to go reaction here. But 2-0. Yes, exactly. we're not going to give fake news. We're going to give real news here right now, true, which is a 2-0 start. Beating the Saints. I don't think anyone expected it, even the guys who put the big money on it late. But what kind of stood out to you?
The efficiency of the offense once again, which showed up in the first game, but I think you could easily write that off of, hey, Carolina is maybe the worst team in the league, definitely one of the two worst defenses in the league. So what does it really mean to have an efficient offensive game against them? Then you do it again against the Saints, which is a much better defense. Now, there's some qualifiers to that. I mean, first of all, the Saints' offense could do nothing because Drew Brees looked like he was not 41, but 141. Couldn't throw the ball at all. And so the defense for the Saints had to be on the field a lot. So I think that helped the Raiders' offensive efficiency. But I think you start looking at this and saying, hey, this is just a really good offense right now. It's clicking on a lot of different cylinders. And I think that there is something to the continuity factor of the Raiders have the same systems from last year. They're able to kind of carry that over where other teams are still trying to, figure some things out. But as many qualifiers as you want to put on it or think you can put on it, bottom line is they're 2-0 and they're moving the ball. Yeah. If you tell me before the season the Raiders are going to put up 34 points in two straight games
and be 2-0
by playing 1984 football, which is what they're doing, I would have said, there's no way. That doesn't work. And I will still kind of stand by that. That doesn't work in 2020, but it's working.
It's working.
So it doesn't matter what we say that, 3 yards on first down on a run, 3 yards on second down on a run, and then completing a 4-yard pass on 3rd and 4, and just moving the ball down the field that way. We say that doesn't work. It's working for them.
Well, it's worked for 2 weeks. A couple things there. One, they're not going to get away with continuing to average just 3 yards a carry. And two, as well as Derek Carr has played, and I think he's played terrific, he's not going to end the season with a 141 ranking on a rating on third down conversion. So I think you're right. I think 34, and they're probably feeling good about themselves. But Gruden, obviously, is in the film room saying, hey, we know we have to get better at this and this because this isn't going to hold up. You're not going through in a whole season averaging 3.4 yards a carry by your best back and looking up and saying, oh, 10-6. I know that a lot of people think running backs aren't as important, but you got to be better than 3.6 if over the course of a season you realize that those third down conversions are probably going to come back a little.
Yeah. Yes. And you would think at some point, teams will start saying, okay, they're not testing us deep on third downs. They're, if it's 3rd and 4, they're throwing it 4 yards. If it's 3rd and 6, they're throwing it 6 yards. It's working. Again, I sound like I'm being negative about it. I'm
stunned. That's what we expect from you.
I'm stunned that it's working, but it's working. So I think, you come out of that and say, hey, what we want to do, and like, this is the offense we want to run, and it is working to this degree. Why change it a whole lot? Now, I think you have to mix in a little bit more, and they are, you know, they mixed in a couple deep shots in the early in the game against the Panthers. They actually took that deep shot at the end of the fourth quarter as they were trying to run their four-minute offense, which I thought was a really good move, and it drew the pass interference. I think you run that play looking for pass interference, not to complete a pass, and they got it. And like, those are shots that are going to pay off, but this, you know, what they are doing right now is just working.
Small sample size. Are you worried that the number two player with the most targets is the running back, Josh Jacobs? We know Waller's one, but what does that say about the receivers at this point?
Well, I think
and Ruggs is hurt. He's banged up, but he's playing.
But I think that's what it says, that Henry Ruggs is not what they expected right now, and not because of a talent issue or anything like that. It's he got hurt. He had like, what, five targets in the first half of the Panthers game, and then got hurt, and so. You know, I think at some point they will come around to using him a lot more. Brian Edwards emerged a little bit in that last that game against the Saints on Monday night. So he started to show a little bit of what they wanted. That's what they want to do. They want to spread the ball around. And it's funny, like you say, spread the ball around when one guy got 16 targets.
Right.
Which is crazy. But, you know, that's almost half the targets for the game went to Darren Waller, which I think they're fine with because he's that dynamic of a player. Josh Jacobs, they want to get involved in the passing game. But, yes, certainly they have to get the wide receivers involved more.
I'm surprised Renfro's only been on the field for like 42% of the snaps. I actually thought he would. I mean, look, we're two games in, but I'm just saying he has four or five targets. I thought it would be more. I thought he was really going to succeed based on more speed outside and Waller's being obviously one of the best tight ends. But I thought, and maybe Renfro will surprise and go for 11 catches at New England. Well, I mean, we're two games in. But if you start looking at sample sizes, you're like, that's probably not kind of how the attack you thought it would go, right?
Yeah, I think you expected him to be more involved. But at the same time, I think that is where you would counter my thoughts on this offense isn't sustainable. You would counter and say, well, it is because now you add Hunter Renfro to the mix more. Now you add, you know, when Henry Ruggs is feeling a little bit healthier, you add him a lot more to the mix. You've got Nelson Agholor, who's made a couple of really big plays for them. Maybe he, you know, you've got guys to still get involved more if that is the next, you know, evolution of this offense. So that's where you would counter the, hey, this offense that you're running, it's Jacobs for three, Jacobs for three, Waller for four, every series of downs, that can't last.
No.
But then you say, yeah, then you go to Renfro, then you go to Edwards, then you go to Ruggs, you go to these other guys when people start taking that away from you, what you want to do. So that is the counter to, that is an evolution that this offense can have, and you get some of these guys more involved in the passing game.
Richie Incognito goes on IR. He's out 3 weeks. Let me ask you this, and I don't know if Kwiatkowski's going to play. I think they would like him to, obviously, given who they're about to play as a quarterback in terms of the mobility, even at 31 for Cam Newton. Trent Brown is interesting. How is Incognito on the IR but not Trent Brown?
I don't know because I don't know.
Because they're taking up a spot with Trent Brown each week if he does, even when he doesn't play.
So, and that then to me, that means that they think at some point he's going to be able to play. I'm starting to sense that there's a little bit of maybe disagreement between the team and Trent Brown.
I think there's some frustration by his teammates saying either go on IR and then you know it's three games or let's go.
And from the team of, hey, like, were you in shape when you got to training camp?
Right.
And is that why you weren't playing? And then is that why you had, you know, issues with the soft tissue? And then is that why you only lasted three plays? And how hard are you working to get back on the field? I think all those questions are being asked. And that's when things start to become kind of ugly between players and the team. And especially if it's from the teammates, like,
yes.
We don't know who, like, where there might be frustration. We don't know if there is. This is all obviously speculation from the outside because we're not in the locker room this year. It's definitely a situation to monitor that I think goes well above and beyond just when he's actually healthy to play.
I don't know how close they pay attention. He was tweeting about college football. Yesterday, we get the tweet, when you see me, you'll ask to take a picture, hashtag relax. I got that from Trent as I asked him to take a picture on the field one day, and he said, relax, buddy. I'm just kidding.
I don't think that happened.
That did not happen. Well, he's never on the field. How could I ask him? But if I'm on the outside looking in and you see stuff like that, it's like, okay, but you know, don't worry about social media, get the foot ready. I mean, if you told me right now, whether it's Carr or whoever on that offense, kind of like raising the eyes saying, we got to go now because, you know, we really need you. You get paid a lot of money. I wouldn't be shocked at that. And again, we're saying all this based on not really knowing the extent of the injury and not knowing what the trainers are saying, but you just get a sense when he doesn't go on IR and others do, that means, like you said, maybe they're thinking, well, maybe this week,
yeah.
but it just hasn't been this week yet.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. And we've talked about Trent Brown's tweets before, though. That was a topic here on this podcast. Like he is very just vague in everything. That he's an angsty teenage girl with his Twitter.
Yes.
Like you send out things, you're like, wait, is this a song lyric or like, what is this?
You want a picture with me? Relax.
What? That's actually like the most clear thing he's ever tweeted, I feel like.
Do people want pictures with him because he's just a large fellow?
Maybe.
Why do you want pictures with him?
I mean, I'm just trying to see if he's tweeted anything since then, if there's any like follow up or anything that we can. our esteemed producer, Larry, is looking through some Trent Brown tweets right now. At Trent is one of my favorite Twitter accounts.
Okay.
He did just retweet a don't confuse people's interactions and watching your every move as support. It's surveillance. They're hoping to see you fall in real time.
Ooh, is he talking about his teammates? Let's just say that.
Maybe.
Be controversial. Let's just start some crazy controversy that, you know, we really can take credit for, but in a way that, like, we don't get in trouble.
He said, ain't seen a mood yet. Mood in quotation marks.
M-O-O-D?
Yeah, ain't seen a mood
ain't
yet.
Ain't seen a mood yet. Is that a song?
I don't think so. It's also
Drake was playing in Allegiant Stadium the night. You asked me who it was. No idea.
Well, I had no idea. Just to go behind the scenes a little bit, and I think people that listen to this podcast will no doubt know that Ed has zero pop culture knowledge whatsoever. Zero. And one of my favorite games in the press box at all sports, hockey, when we cover it, NFL games, we cover it, is when there's a very popular song playing to just ask Ed, who sings this?
Oh, no Ed, chance. I have no chance.
I did give you the hint the other day.
I thought you just said, who's singing it? Who is this? I thought that's all I heard.
I did, but then after you didn't know, it was Drake.
Okay.
And I told you, if there's any like hip-hop-y song, just guess Drake. He's on like half the songs.
Yeah. Eminem?
I mean, if it was 1996, well, then sure. I think then that would be a pretty good guess. Actually, his first album was like 98 or 99, so that's not really accurate. But yeah, if it's 2000, sure, guess Eminem on everything. But yeah, if it's 2020, just guess Drake. He's on like half the songs on some point, so you at least should be partially correct.
You got hurt in an accident. Now you need the right lawyer to help you.
Don't hire a do-nothing, no-call, no-show lawyer.
We are Sam and Ash, and we are different.
We've recovered over $400 million for our clients, and we promise to always call you back the same day.
While no one can guarantee an outcome in your case, we have the experience to get you the results that you deserve.
So call us at 702-820-1234.
Or visit samandash.com.
Because you deserve what's right.
Visa knows that local businesses are the heartbeat of our communities. Whether our corner shops, our coffee shops, our favorite shops, local businesses have always been there for us. They remember our orders. They call us by name, always giving back, making a difference, and going that extra mile to support us in our community. And right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support. So now it's time for us to return the favor. The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at local businesses and look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with a contactless Visa to help support your community, because where and how you shot matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be, official partner of the NFL.
Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. 3 million! Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/podcast. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through September 30th.
First, I have to realize, it's the music he sings. I have no idea. I don't even know what music. Never mind, do I not know artists. I don't even know what kind of music things are. I know country music because it's my favorite, but other than Carrie Underwood on a few songs. Why would you laugh at that? Other than Carrie Underwood on a few songs, I wouldn't be able to. I know the songs, but I wouldn't tell you the artist. I'd have no clue. The Carrie Underwood, I would know. You know,
Wheeler Walker. That's my country artist. Nothing.
Nothing. I love songs though. Good. Ready for some football on Sunday night? Isn't that her on Sunday night? Sunday night football.
That's first of all, you're. Please don't ever sing again. Also, I don't think that's her version. I feel like that's
no. She's Sunday Night Football. It used to be.
But that doesn't sound like the what you're saying.
Well, I'm not Carrie Underwood. This is in. I like to sing her songs though in the car.
Can you just tweet? I'm not Carrie Underwood.
Jesus, take the wheel, my friend. So they're 2-0. They're on their way to the Patriots, and we'll see about the injuries and what will they do with Cam Newton before we get on to the coronavirus. I need a prediction from you. I think we both missed last week.
Oh, way
so
off.
I'm going to go 26-21 Patriots.
Mm, so Raiders cover. Look at you.
Yes.
God, I'm going to say 24-13 Patriots.
Okay.
But I thought last week was going to be very low scoring. Oh, it just wasn't.
Yeah, we completely. Everyone lost us. Don't write in and say you picked the Raiders. It's not happening.
I think a lot of fans.
Well, fans did. Yeah, but you know what was the line? 6. But got bet down a lot, so people put money towards it. This week, John Gruden. Well, no, after the game.
So
John
wait,
Gruden,
was my punishment for such a bad pick having to hear you sing?
Yes.
Okay, that's fair.
Jesus, take the wheel.
First of all, I actually don't know much country.
Right.
I do know that song. That's not how it goes.
No, that's the words. It's not how she sings it.
Right. Yeah, well, why would you sing lyrics and not in the way that
I love country
sung?
Music. I love country music.
Right,
love
but why would you change like the rhythm of it to sing the lyrics?
I don't have any rhythm. Look at me. I'm a disaster.
Fair. But you, just last week, we found out you won a dance contest.
I did. Well,
what do you mean you have no rhythm?
Well, did you see the dance, though? It was really just one move.
Yeah.
It's like a move that I just swirled my arms around.
So do you think the voting was basically just like making fun of you?
No, there was no one else in the contest. I was on a bar drunk and they said, "Can you get down? We'll give you a beer. You win." That was the dance contest.
Fair enough. Yeah, well,
it's not like we signed up on the paper walking into the bar and saying, "Oh, I'm number 5. I'm in the contest." At some point, I somehow found myself on top of the bar dancing, and the bouncer comes over because you got to get down. I kept dancing because, look, I'll give you a free beer if you get down. I go, I'm in a dance contest. I actually believed I was in one at that point. And then when I jumped down, the guy gave me the beer, goes, "All right, buddy, you won." Gave me a slap on the back. Get the hell out of the bar.
So, okay, this is a lot more details than we learned last week.
I thought there was a dance contest going on.
No, you were so drunk that you made up a dance contest.
Well, I didn't make it up. When you're inebriated, you believe what's happening.
Right, but then, so that the prize was awarded to you because you invented a dance contest.
Absolutely.
We were led to believe that you entered some sort of contest.
Why would you think that?
Even if there's only one entrant, like my assumption was you entered a contest.
And no one else entered?
You were the only one that signed up.
Oh, no, no.
And then they were like, oh, okay, you win.
Yeah, it was a dance contest in my mind, and then they gave me the beer, and the guy says, you need to leave now. I said, okay. I was across the border.
This is a far different scenario.
Essentially, it was a contest because he hit me on the back. He goes, you win, buddy.
Okay, now this makes sense.
I was claimed the winner.
All right, now this makes sense. I get it.
After the game, John Gruden told us he had the coronavirus, and the next day, he actually said it was serious. He had it in July. My question to you, though, is... here's the thing about the coronavirus, as awful it is, and obviously we wear our masks, we wash our hands. I don't know about this tracing stuff, though, because I get if there's a coronavirus, if someone tests positive at like a huge game, NFL and baby, you can make like the public statement, hey, if you're at the game, someone tests, you want to get tested. How many people, though, across the country in like weird little dive bars and elsewhere that get it, you can never trace those people. Now, I don't see anyone on TV or ads in the paper saying, hey, if you had it at Torrey Pines or this pub or that pub that, you know, you need to get tested. I don't, you know, so that's why I kind of put my hands up.
You can get an app that traces.
You can?
Oh, sure.
The only app I have are the number of cases in the Clark County. It's not an app. I just go on the Review Journal website.
Right. I mean, so that's not an app.
No, it's my computer. I go reviewjournal.com and I see how many cases there are.
There's contact tracing apps, and I think some of the phone companies are trying to participate.
So everyone who has anything can go to this app and say, oh, I was at that Jack in the Box on this day.
I don't use it, so I don't really necessarily know how it works, but I know that there's tracing apps, and the phone companies have been involved in trying to say, like, all right, our customers are here.
But do you see what I mean? It's like, I know big events, but other events, there's no way there's no way I'm finding out if I'm at a bar and stuff like 2 weeks later. I wouldn't know.
I mean, that's why you... That's why you hear some stories of like, hey, there was at this bar, like 10 people tested positive, and you could be like, oh, I was there. Yeah. Like you could find that out. And the tracing, especially somebody like John Gruden, the reason why I think it's important, like people talk about it's privacy, and I get all those issues.
I get that.
But at the same time, like why I think it's an issue if you don't talk about it. So like John Gruden had it in July, according to him.
Right.
I'm not faulting him directly. It's just because he's in the news right now. We're talking about it. I believe there is some sort of responsibility to say like, oh, I tested positive. And then people can hear that like, oh, I was around him. Like I forgot. Oh. Like I didn't realize that I was around him like during that night. So maybe I should go get tested now. Like, oh, I ran into him at a restaurant on July 23rd. Maybe I should have been tested. Now it doesn't matter. Now like it's a long time ago, whatever. But at the time, I do believe there is some sort of responsibility to inform people, to tell people, especially I know that I won't, you know, mention the person directly, but their story is public. They've talked about it. They're a Las Vegan. And they had it, very healthy person, got very, very sick, and, you know, it was a really bad situation. And what they said was, the only thing I was thinking about wasn't even myself being sick. It was, man, I was at Whole Foods yesterday. Like, who else could have been around me? So I think there is some responsibility of, hey, a normal person, nobody would remember that interaction.
Right.
But if you're John Gruden, you saw him at Whole Foods.
Yeah.
You would be like, oh, I was around him. I was actually standing next to him in the produce section for like 7 minutes as we looked for, you know, cantaloupes. Like, maybe I should go get tested now.
Okay. If I got it and I was pretty sure I hadn't come around anyone, I might call in 2 weeks of vacation and not say anything.
Yeah, if you'd been not around anybody for like a week or two.
But how could that be happening?
Right. When would that ever happen?
I don't know. I'm more of a closet guy. I get in the closet. What do I need to tell people for?
Well, like I feel okay. Like you and I, even though we're distanced and we wear masks, we're around each other. We're around each other a lot. If you got it, I do think there's a responsibility for you to tell me.
I don't know, man. I might call you, but I might call you, but I don't know what the odds are on that. I don't know what the odds are.
Keeping it to yourself?
Well, nah. I'd probably call you in the end.
I mean, I get there.
A couple weeks in.
For some people, there's an embarrassment factor, which I don't really understand. Like, it's not.
No, is it? That's what I was asking. Not only embarrassment, is it the fear that if people know you had it, they'd obviously try to, you know, not want to be around you or treat you differently?
Good. They shouldn't want to be around you.
Well, after the 14 days, I'm saying like, oh, like Gruden right now. Did some of the players, when he's walking forward, kind of like just back up a little? It's like, yeah, this guy's had it?
They should probably. Not now, but around the time they should have. And that's why it's so important to distance and to wear masks, because you don't know who you're going to be around. You don't know who you're going to come into contact with. All of those things. Like, that's why these things are important. You don't know when you could have contracted it. Like there is that reasoning of like, you could get it. Even like, I'm tested every day.
Yeah.
But like so I took the test this morning.
Right.
I'll probably get it. I'll get the results around 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. Right. It'll pop it on my email. Like, I was negative yesterday. I could be positive today, but I could, like yesterday I was around a couple people. Not really close to them or anything like that, but I went to dinner with some people and I'm like, well, I would have had to tell them like, hey, at some point I got it. Maybe I got it from you. Maybe I had it and I was around you. Like, there is a responsibility to tell people that you were around.
I don't want it to come off like I wouldn't tell anybody. I'm just thinking,
that's what you're doing.
No, I don't believe so. I just think like, if I could somehow manage to get it and not be completely around anyone, I don't think if I knew everyone was safe, I'd pretty much call and say, hey, I need to take 2 weeks of vacation. 2 weeks might give it away. So I'm asked for 3 weeks. Cause if you say exactly 2 weeks,
I can't be around anybody for 14 days.
I'd like to take a vacation for exactly 14 days. So I'd probably like to ask 16 or 17 to kind of, you know, not put me
That's a very responsible thing to do, and actually it's what you should be doing anyway. Like, that's, it's not like admirable that you would not be around anybody after you get a positive diagnosis, but it's more the last couple days. Like, that's the responsibility. It's
what if I just went through drive
because it's
Starbucks?
On you. Once you find out you have it, it's on you. You better stay home. You better not go around anybody.
Oh no, if I had it, I wouldn't be going anywhere. I'd stay home. I'm just talking about the line that crosses over. Like, hey, who do I need to tell?
Right, but that's just common. That's just common decency. Like, don't go out anywhere if you get it.
Obviously,
but it's the few days before. That's the issue that we're saying. Hey, you need to tell the people you've been around the last couple of days. Because you don't know when you had it, or it might be from them. You might have given it to them. Like, that's the people you're responsible to tell.
You know why this comes into play for me? I don't like people. No one comes to my house. I don't allow anyone near 20 feet of my house. I've actually got a good chance of getting it and never telling anyone because I'll just be in quarantine for 14 days. No one will know.
That's totally fair. I've heard people use this joke, but I'm saying it dead seriously. I have, and I think we've talked about this before, I hate handshakes.
I hate any sort of physical thing like that.
It's not a germ thing for me. Yeah. Like, it's always with a handshake. It's always how long does the handshake go? How firm is it? Do you run into people that like pull your hand around, like jerk your hand around with that sort of thing?
You think about those things
constantly.
Why?
Every
do you
time
get the fist bump?
I've tried to make the fist bump a thing, but there's a lot of people that are like, that's not. Yeah, that's I'm exclusively
it's a
fist
thing.
Bump.
Everyone in the world does.
No. Well, first of all, there's definitely one person we know that refuses to fist bump. But
you know, it's no, in the coronavirus though, it's been the elbow hit.
There is some sort of view that like the fist bump is not formal and the handshake is like the formal greeting. No. That should change. No more of that. Just because nobody knows how long to do it.
When's the last time you shook someone's hand?
So
jeez, you can't even remember.
No, I know. Because it was a thing. So I actually did an interview last week. First like sit down interview I've done since March with like face to face with somebody. Right. And they are definitely an anti masker, an anti COVID hoaxer person. And they stuck their hand out to shake it. And without thinking, I did.
Ooh.
And
have you been tested?
Yeah, every day. Okay, all right. By the way, this person had been tested.
You're a little close to
this
me.
This is a prominent professional athlete.
Okay.
So like, and they were competing.
Okay. I'm
probably giving away a lot here. They were competing the next. So they'd been tested like every day that week and quarantined. If that leads people to believe who you're talking about. Who's an anti COVID hoaxer athlete out there who competed this last weekend very prominently.
The same. I got a friend who thinks that Joe Covington. So you had to shake this person's hand.
Good one. Good clue there.
He
reached out to shake my hand and I had just finished the interview and then I shook it and I was like, ah. And he goes, it's fine. It's not a real thing. I'm like, okay, well, it is. And the reason I don't want to is because you don't think it's a real thing. Like, that is why I don't want to shake your hand.
Well, you'll never guess who that is.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll get back to that next week, and we'll tell you if the Raiders are 3-0 or 2-1 when they get back from Foxborough. That's going to do it for our latest edition of Unsportsmanlike Conduct of the Vegas Nation podcast, sponsored by Salmon Ash Injury Law, presented by Visa, Indeed, and Favor Shot. Remember now, there are new episodes of Vegas Nation every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Just subscribe to Vegas Nation on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any other podcasting app. You can also support this show by leaving a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, and can find all our coverage at VegasNation.com. For Adam, Larry, I'm Ed. Talk to you next week.
If you've been injured in an accident, you need the right team on your side.
Ashley is a former insurance defense attorney who knows the insurance industry's playbook.
And Sam is an experienced high-stakes negotiator for accident victims and their families.
At Sam and Ash, our sole focus is on you, your recovery, and getting you the best possible settlement in the least amount of time.
Call us day or night at 702-820-1234 or visit samandash.com.
Because you deserve what's right.
They say a healthy gut means a healthy you. Favor apple cider vinegar shots bottle this feeling into the convenience of a 2-ounce shot. Better digestion, stronger immune system, and the lowering of blood sugar levels are just some of the benefits to shooting a daily Favor shot. Their proprietary blends are raw and organic and mixed with other functional ingredients to create a better tasting experience. First-time shooters can go to drinkafavor.com.